June 29, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we will study from the Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. In the book of Hebrews, there are many mentions of Melchizedek as a high priest. Jesus was also the law and many other things, but he was also a high priest. Melchizedek means, in Hebrew, the king of righteousness, and he was also the king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Do you remember in the earlier chapter of this book, the Bible talks about the solid food and milk, and it tells you not to keep drinking milk like a babe? I think today's reading is solid food. So when you read a name like that, whether it's Salem, Melchizedek, or Barak, or we need to look into it, because God often conceals the meaning of the word and then his purpose in those names. I don't know if everyone has the same level of understanding, but I have to teach this now because I can't wait around thinking that this person or that person might not feel good about themselves by hearing this message. I am not around forever, so I have to teach what I have to teach now. And if some of you understand it, I'm fine with that. And you too also need to look into the meaning of those words, and if you sincerely seek to understand the Lord, not only the name of Melchizedek, but also Ezekiel or Isaiah or whatever the name you see, because the names of people and the places often contain the meaning. I was not like this before, but as I have been writing the newsletters over a decade, God has shown that to me. In English or other Western languages, they have a lot more resources than Japanese language to study the Bible in depth. But in Japanese, even if you go to a Christian bookstore in Tokyo, if you want to look up, for example, meaning of names like Abraham or Isaac, you can't find many books on those things. But over the years, God has told me to look up the meaning of each word, since each word contains meaning, but I didn't know how to study those things. I live in Tokyo, but there are only a few Christian bookstores, and even their selection were not that good. So I was praying how to do this. And at the church where I used to attend, there was a young English-speaking man, and everybody called him John. And his real name was Jonathan, but everyone called him John. And between the services, I saw him reading a catalog, and I felt like I also need to see that catalog. So I asked him if I could also see it, and then when I did, I discovered that in English language, they have so many Bible study guides and dictionaries. It was more than decades ago, so it was not like now that we can easily order everything online. I actually had to import them from the United States, and it took me a while to receive the books. And I ordered a bunch of Bibles and the Bible dictionaries, and they were so thick. They're like 10 centimeters thick, but so much cheaper than what I would normally pay in Japan. And that's how I studied the Bible. And I discovered that all the names contain meanings. Now, it is so much more easier, well, not so much in Japanese, but if you understand English, there are many useful internet sites that you can use. So if you want to eat solid food, those are the resources you can use. I want to show you an example. Let's go to Ruth chapter 1. As you know, Ruth is Naomi's daughter-in-law, Naomi's son's wife. Naomi's husband and Ruth's husband both passed away, and they were widows. And later, because of Naomi, Ruth met a wealthy man named Boaz, and she married him. Ruth was a foreigner, but she married into the family of God's people, and she is actually in Jesus' genealogy. But when you look at Ruth's first husband's name, the name also has a meaning. Naomi's husband's name was Elimelech, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons, both Mahlon and Chilion, also died. And I looked up the name Mahlon means sickness, and Chilion means to collapse. And they were both weak men, but Ruth eventually met and married to Boaz, who was a strong man. And I think Boaz was a foreshadow of Christ. So Ruth was with a weak master, but later found a strong master, and then she received her blessings. Before we come to Christ, we too were married to sickness or other form of weak and inferior masters, but we too became blessed when we came to Boaz, which is Jesus, who is the real master and husband. So if we look up the names and other words in each section, you will receive many more revelations. The author of the book of Hebrews knew about this. So he wrote that Melchizedek means the righteous king, and the Salem means peace. He noted the significance of it, and his writing survived for 2,000 years, meaning God knew the value of his writing, and the author of the book was blessed by that. So we need to be willing to eat some solid food here too. And going back to the Hebrews, verse 3. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Also in the same chapter, verse 24 and 25 says, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. When you read the Genesis, there are many genealogies explaining who is from what family, but Melchizedek appears suddenly, and there is no explanation on him, no beginning or the end, so he was representing the coming Christ. Jesus had many roles like teacher, friend, and a king, but here I would like to talk about his role as a priest. In the Old Testament, priests stood between man and God. And as you know, priests would intercede and repent for sins of people. So that's what Aaron and his sons did. And God heard the prayers of the priest and forgave his people's sin. Priests would bring cows, sheep, or other animal sacrifices for sin offering, and God accepted those. Aaron himself also sinned by allowing his people to worship a calf. We also sin too, so we need a priest to intercede for us, and that's what Jesus does for us. I remember when I was going to a seminary school, the school was very strict, and we often had students who escaped from the program. And they were gone in the middle of the night and nowhere to be found in the morning. But some would come back on the following day. And I remember when I was still a senior in high school, I visited the seminary school and I participated their morning prayer, which started at 5 a.m. And when we started, there were three students. And by the time we finished the prayer, there was the fourth person. And it seems that he was the one who had escaped the night before. And I remember that he went up to the director and apologized for being late, and the director yelled at him and said very harsh things to him. And I don't think Jesus would respond to him that way. Anyway, but I find the verse 25 most blessing. It says, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. So if we follow him, even if we have many flaws, we will enter into his blessings. Even in sports, if you're trained under an amazing coach, your skill will improve drastically. Same thing with our walk with Christ. Although we might start from very far, and as we listen to his voice, and because of his intercession for us, eventually all of us will be able to walk into his blessings. And as for me, for example, God has changed my heart over the years. Now I'm able to intercede for others. I could not do that before, but I do now, and even for those who hurt me. And I was also a slacker too, and there were times that I got lazy with prayer, but bad things happen when you don't pray, so I learned that too, and I take prayer more seriously now. And this is not because of my work or my effort. I believe this change came to me because of God leading and guiding and his own intercession for me. So indeed, he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Now, Hebrews 7:4. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils, and indeed those who are of the sons of Levi, who received priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren. Though they have come from the loins of Abraham, but whose genealogy is not derived from them, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Here it says, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, so it shows that he was higher than Abraham. Because blessings always come from a higher place to the lower people. So priesthood of Melchizedek is higher than Levi. Well, please look at Genesis 14:18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. This shows us that Melchizedek is in a higher place than Abraham, which is the father of Levi. Who can see that? We can see that because Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And also the fact that Abraham gave him the tenth of his possession is a sign that Melchizedek was higher ranked than Abraham. Well, same thing with the tax. The tax money is usually collected from the ordinary people, then they are sent up to the government. So as for Levi, you know that Levi is Abraham's descendants. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, then came 12 tribes of Israel, which included Judah and Levi. So Melchizedek was higher than Levi. It is also noteworthy that Levi was not serving God effectively. The Bible does not say so, but it implies. You know, Moses' brother Aaron was a high priest. When people of Israel complained asking for water, instead of speaking to the rock as God had commanded. He struck the rock twice, and as a result of this action, God forbade Moses and Aaron from leading the children of Israel into the Promised Land. So their duty of leading people to the Promised Land failed right there. And the First Corinthians says, the rock was the Christ. So the Bible implies that descendants of Moses and Aaron, priests and lawyers, would continue to strike the rock, which is the Christ. And that's what happened, and the priest ended up killing Jesus. I am not saying that Moses and Aaron went to hell, but Levi's priesthood and duty as a lawkeeper failed with Jesus, and for Jesus even said that they would make their converts twice, twofold more the child of hell than themselves. I think this will repeat again at the end time. Theologians and those who claim to know God will do exactly what priests and lawyers did to Jesus in his time. So you have to be careful if you're following the doctrine. But if you're following Jesus, you will not fail, and you will only see the truth. We did at the seminar yesterday, we talked about wars and rumors of wars, and I never understood the meaning of it, but as we studied to prepare for the seminar, I understood it. War is the first sign of things to follow. But once the war breaks out, other things will happen inevitably, and there is no stopping to it. And I believe the time is approaching, and those are things that God taught us. So we should not look at Levi of our time, but we should only look at Jesus.